This is a new dimension in sound.
You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Now, back to Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Boz and Mr. G.
Welcome back, Illini Nation. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. You can reach us at 888-463-6748 or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. In a moment, we'll have Jack Lyman from Scout talking Illini recruiting, specifically football recruiting. Jack has been hopefully up to his eyeballs in Illini recruits this weekend. With the signing date coming up, we're going to pepper Jack with questions. Pepper Jack.
Oh, I'm hungry now.
With questions regarding Illini recruiting. And now welcome the one, the only Jack Lyman. Jack, welcome to Talking Illini.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to talk with you today.
Have you ever been called Pepper Jack before?
No, but the word Jack has been used and misused.
Okay, well, you know, Jack, enough off of that. I mean, excuse me, something like that.
By the way, before we start talking about football recruiting, I want to apologize to Mr. G. The last time I talked with you, I told him I thought Richard Simrow might be able to help us this year, and at that time he was showing some potential in the practices, but since then he's lost confidence and is not doing anything, so Mr. G was correct.
Yeah. Well, I'm correct for now. I always leave a shadow of hope out there. I just don't see the skill set that translates into a frontline Big Ten player yet. It doesn't mean he can't grow on the job, but right now he's not showing it. Having said that, Jack, I issued an apology today relative to Chester Frazier, who I thought would never be more than a role player, a hustle player. And I have to tell you something, his leadership, his scrappiness this year, his overall floor play, irrespective of his inability to score the ball, has really meant so much to this team. And kudos and all praise to Chester Frazier for that growth.
I definitely agree with that. And watching Chester, he's starting to enjoy his role. In the past, you know, he wanted to be more of a scorer, and so it would kind of be a vicious circle where he would try too hard to score, making his lack of high percentage shooting even more magnified. But he has embraced his role now, and this team falls apart when he's not in the game. It's as simple as that.
You know, there was a stretch during the game on Saturday where we had Meacham and McCamey out of the game. And I know what you say about Frazier not being in the game, but I really think that Frazier's just a mediocre ball handler. I really think that for us to be successful, we can't have long stretches where Meacham and McCamey are out of the game. They're clearly our two best ball handlers.
Oh, I agree with that. And, of course, when you have he and, say, Jeff Jordan and, you know, somebody else in there that may not be as good a scorer, when you have them all in there together, you're making the defense have to guard fewer players. But by the same token, when you look, you know, when the coaches treat those players in a positive way and encourage them, and including Chester, to go ahead and shoot if you have the open shot, they actually shoot a higher percentage because they're not pressing. And so, you know, that has kind of helped this year some, too.
Jack, it was a big weekend. I think 20-some, 20, 21 kids were on campus football recruiting. Tell us a little bit about that. Were these kids that have mostly verbaled already that are looking, when's signing date? A week from tomorrow or Wednesday?
Yeah, it's on the 4th of February.
Okay.
There was supposed to be, I think, 22 that came in, but two didn't make it. Craig Appleton out of East St. Louis wasn't there, and neither was Justin Green, a running back out of Kentucky. In the case of Justin Green, he had committed to Ohio State several months ago and was still showing some interest in Illinois, but I guess at the last minute he decided to cancel his visit. But anyway, the other guys were about an equal mixture of commits and potential commits.
I've heard through the rumor mill that Appleton and Hawthorne are not the best of friends, and that people would be very surprised if they ended up at the same school.
Well, people have said that for a couple of years now, and yet it's blown kind of hot and cold. Appleton did commit to Illinois at more than one point, actually, and including after their their state championship game, he reconfirmed that. But you know, that could have just been, you know, the euphoria of the moment, perhaps. But I think, too, that his situation is probably one where he's being torn by a number of forces and may not have a sure idea in his mind even yet what he wants to do. He's been to Illinois enough times, I'm sure he wouldn't have to have an official visit, so I don't know if you can rule him out. But, you know, you never can tell with some of these high school kids because there are so many people trying to influence him one way or the other. But Hawthorne is such a tremendous prospect that even if we only get one of those two. And Hawthorne did reconfirm his desire to sign with Illinois this weekend. He's still going to be an awfully good prospect.
Yeah, I think that actually Hawthorne is probably the better prospect of the two at this point.
Well, it just depends on how you look at it. When I saw them play in high school, they're so complementary to each other because Hawthorne is the guy who makes the quick moves and gets separation from the defenders, close to the line of scrimmage, whereas Appleton can go up over the top of people.
More like a Brandon Lloyd type of receiver.
Oh, yeah. He's one of those guys that you just know that if you throw it to it, he's going to go up and get it. And so those two really, when they both play in the game together, make a tremendous, double force for a team.
The other big name that don't know if it's 50-50 or what is this running back out of St. Louis, Ronnie Wingo. What do you know about that situation?
He's been very tight-lipped all along and playing it close to the vest. I guess he had a couple other colleges come in to talk with him Sunday night in his home after having the visit. So he's trying to give all five of his top choices an equal say. So, no one knows for sure what's going on. I know he did have a good visit this weekend, and all we can do now is wait. I think he's going to possibly make a decision and make an announcement by Tuesday, but, that could change.
When you say good visit, give us an idea of, you got 20 kids on campus. They come in, Friday afternoon, Friday evening. How do the coaches, do they have an organized program where they meet all together, do different things, then they, assign them out to different ball players? How does all that work?
Well, I don't know precisely what they do and when they do it, but I do know that they have a host assigned to them, and so one or more of the Illinois players already on campus looks after them and takes care of making sure that they have a chance to get to all the places they need to go to and all. And then they have at least, I'm sure, one opportunity to get together as a group, maybe in Zook's home or something like that. And I know they go out to eat. I don't know if they all go out to eat at the same place at the same time or if they split that up or how they do it. Then, of course, this weekend there was a home basketball game, so they all went to the game and at least stayed until the half. Some of them stayed the whole game, but some left at the half. But at least they were there. And, so they meet with their academic people on Saturday find out, if their academics are in order and a little bit about what they have to do in terms of admissions and all that kind of stuff. And, hopefully meet with one or more professors of their the field of study they're interested in so they can get an idea of what their schoolwork will be like. And, so then also they have some time, some free time to check out the campus. And I'm sure they give them tours, in an organized fashion. So it's a pretty full weekend.
Speaking of academics, that seems to be the buzzword around Craig Drummond. Is he in or out? Do you know? Is there something official on that?
Well, I saw a report this morning that said he did commit to Ole Miss. And if so, I wish him well. It was kind of a weird situation, and I'm not sure I know exactly all that went on, but one thing it didn't seem likely was that he would want to do what Illinois was hoping, which was, I guess, to take or retake a couple of courses that that maybe he needed to in order to guarantee clearing the NCAA clearinghouse. I think it was not necessarily a question of whether or not he'd be qualified, but whether or not he could get in at the second semester at Illinois, and if indeed letting him in would be worthwhile for both parties, since he might still have clearinghouse issues. Excuse me a second. Sorry about that.
You okay, Jack?
Yeah, I'm just coughing a little bit.
The word is that admissions would not have accepted him into Illinois, that it was a mutual parting of the ways. And as much as we thought the kid had a significant upside as a player, you're not going to get every kid into the University of Illinois. And clearly, Ole Miss has a different set of standards than the University of Illinois.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. But, I'm not so sure if we can claim that Illinois has the higher ground or anything. I think that Illinois was suggesting that he wait and enroll in the summer, and he wanted to enroll right away. So that did put more of a limit on what their options were.
On a good note, I heard that Nixon is enrolled for the spring semester, and can you confirm that for us?
Well, I've been told the same thing, but I've also been told that he may still not be cleared by the clearinghouse. I don't know which is the story at this point, but I hope he is.
So if he's not cleared by the clearinghouse, he won't be able to participate in spring practice.
Well, I don't know if that's true either, but I'll have to wait and ask somebody about that specifically. I do know that in the fall, if they haven't been cleared, they're forced to sit out. Yes, so he may have to if that were the case. But again, some of this is from secondhand sources, so I can't verify it.
And Nixon is a kid who probably will be a starter next year if he can get clearance.
Well, I don't know if that's true either. You know, freshman, and I did see him in Camp Rantoul, and he's real quick, and he's a good man-to-man defender. But he still had a lot to learn, as all the freshmen did. And so, especially if he can't go through spring ball, it's going to be like starting over next fall. And we do still have some other guys ahead of him at the cornerback spots. But I would say that very likely he'll be on special teams, which, by the way, I think can be upgraded a great deal with some of the guys who either were delayed by the clearinghouse from being eligible last fall, or plus some of the new guys coming in.
And wouldn't that take a special teams coach to upgrade that aspect?
I think that what they're going to do, and this hasn't been enough.
I was being sarcastic, Jack.
No, I know that. But in the past, I think there were several irons in the fire, and perhaps that was, you know, part of the problem, where I think Coach Woodford now will be given full charge of it. And if that's the case, then at least one person will be solely responsible for making those decisions and taking the blame if necessary. But in terms of the special teams, and I know you want to talk recruiting, but I think it's apropos here because some of the guys, like, for example, Eric Watts from Jacksonville, who just committed over the weekend, may be in the starting lineup for the opening game next fall because of his ability on kickoffs and kickoff returns. But anyway, I think what happened this last year is we lost a bunch of fourth and fifth year seniors off of the special teams units who were kamikazes. They were experienced. They knew what they were doing, and they were just. They, in fact, guys like Drew McMahon and Pat Rouse, were not necessarily great players, but they were really good at what they did on special teams and were good leaders on special teams. And so we lost all of that, and we had a bunch of young guys who were tentative. And then when they started having problems, making mistakes, they started thinking about it, and they tightened up, and that made it even worse. So it kind of, you know, multiplied that way. But we were also missing some real good athletic linebackers and defensive backs because of some of the clearinghouse issues, and they would have helped a lot, too.
Would you be shocked if Wingo didn't commit to Arkansas tomorrow?
I wouldn't be shocked at anything he did, actually. What was, I think, most shocking of anything I've heard recently is I saw an interview, a video interview with someone talking about Wingo's skills, and they downplayed his running back skills and just talked about his versatility, so that they were saying that he might not even play running back in college, so who knows? People have different opinions.
And have you seen film on Bud Golden, and how would you compare Golden to Wingo's skill set?
Well, Wingo is bigger and stronger, more likely to get some of the tough yards inside. He may be a little bit faster as well. Golden has some good moves and some good speed, but he's more in the 190-pound range. He's going to need to bulk up a little bit. I think he has the frame he can do that, but a little bit different types of runners. I think that they would complement each other. The thing that Illinois, I think, doesn't have yet is one of these guys that could just be a game-breaker running back. They have several guys they can use by committee, but no one who really is a star. And so some have thought that Wingo might be the exception. But, again, we'll have to wait and see on that. And
so would you characterize Golden as more of a Pierre Thomas type of runner, and that Wingo was more of a Mendenhall type?
No. it's hard to compare those. But Golden is a quality runner. I think he can help us. I'm just saying that what he is not is a 4.3 burner, for example. What he's not is a 230-pound bruiser. He's somewhere in between all those.
Is he bigger than Pollard?
Pollard's much shorter than Golden.
Okay.
And lighter in weight. Golden, I think, has the frame to fill out the 205, 210 pounds without losing any speed. And yet his running style may be closer to that of someone like Jason Ford than it would be a Rashard Mendenhall. You know, I mean, not many people have Rashard Mendenhall's ability.
What excites you about the class coming in that hopefully will be signing next week? Are there going to be any surprises of guys not signing?
Well, you know, of course, Drummond, obviously, is one. That's not a surprise. But other than possibly Appleton, of the commitments that we have, I don't think there's any surprises that way. in terms of positive surprises, we'll have to just wait and see. You know, we all know who the visitors were, and we don't know if any more for sure coming in later, so there may not be any, you know, total surprises. Excuse me. But there are some really good players, and including Nathan Shieldhouse, the quarterback out of Kansas City. He was in this weekend and was working on all the guys to try to get them to join him here. And so he and Hawthorne, Steve Hull, and they have a couple other receivers that were in this weekend. Lamar Scruggs out of Florida and Jerron Stokes out of Philadelphia. Both are really outstanding prospects. So, you know, we could still get maybe one of those if Appleton decides not to come here. And so those guys, and then there are some good linemen on both sides of the ball, and they're still, you know, working on linebackers, but they have a couple of speedster type of linebackers.
I was going to ask you, have we shored up our linebacker core, and has anybody committed who's going to be a difference maker at linebacker?
Well, I don't know about difference maker, but they, you know, Darryl Lee and Eric Watts, who committed last weekend, are both about 4'5", 40 guys who are not extremely big, but are real fast and hard, aggressive, tough-nosed kinds of kids, good motors and that type of thing. So they will definitely help us. But I don't know if we have a middle linebacker unless Aaron Gress, the junior college guy, is able to play there. But there's different reports on his size, so we'll have to wait and see whether he's an outside guy or an inside guy.
What is the staff saying about linebacker? If one of these junior college kids like Gress or one of these recruits can't play middle linebacker, who do you see playing there next year?
Well, you know, when we talk to them about their guys already on campus, which is what they can, who they can talk about. They can't talk about the commitments, of course. The guys on campus, they always say, "Oh yeah, we're fine there," but they don't go overboard saying that, you know. So I think that part of the problem is that they're just young, and someone like Evan Frierson may have the speed and athleticism to really help us, but we didn't see him practice because he wasn't able to practice until they started preparations for games, and then he was on the scout team, and the scout teams don't do anything. I mean, they run plays, but they don't run them even at full speed usually, so you can't get a feel for whether they're any good. And then someone like a Nate Palmer out of Chicago may be excellent down the road, but he needed more fundamental work, and so it takes a while for these guys coming in sometimes to gain confidence in the system and to know what they're doing. And so it's a little bit early to evaluate them. But what is pretty sure is that we will have a very young linebacking core, and that will probably hurt us some at times.
The athlete that I want to see on the field next year is Jack Ramsey. I've heard amazing things about his ability, about the talent that he can bring to any number of positions for this team.
Well, I agree with that, and I think that he will be a receiver. He's a guy that I think will replace Brian Gamble in terms of his style of play and what he does. But he's also a great punt returner, and I think that will be good because we won't have to have really a spin back there all the time. But he just has a knack. He's just got a lot of quickness and good moves and a lot of desire to move forward into holes quickly.
How many Big Ten teams do you foresee being in the top 25 in national recruiting ratings?
Well, Penn State, Ohio State are both doing exceptionally well. Those two for sure. Illinois has a chance to be in there, depending on who they pick up here at the last. Michigan State has done pretty well, but I don't know how well, whether they break into that or not. Michigan will probably always do well.
Just on reputation alone.
Yeah, and that's basically it. But they have recruited a number of athletes that were similar to ones that you'd see at West Virginia. So I'm not sure about their present ranking, but you know, a lot of this kind of ranking changes at the last minute because some of the top players don't commit until right at the end, and that's when the big name schools rise to the top.
You can reach Jack at 888-463-6748 or email us at talkingalini@yahoo.com. Again, that's 888-463-6748 with your questions for Jack Lyman of Scout.com. I'm thinking of the two Scots here at the table. That's Scout.com.
Jack, can you hang on a few minutes? We got to take a break, and then we'll come back for another few with you.
That'll be fine.
Terrific. Thanks much. This is Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G on TalkZone.com. We'll be back in a moment.
You want to build a house. Where do you start? With a plan, right? That's what AXA Advisors is all about. They work with you one-on-one to help you build a financial strategy, a good foundation that year by year can get you closer to the things you really want to achieve. So start right with a blueprint for life. AXA, financial protection. For more information, call Stephen King, financial consultant, 847-291-3669. That's 847-291-3669. Securities and investment advisory services offered through AXA Advisors, LLC, 212-314-4600. Member FINRA, SIPC.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to five vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
The award-winning Sun Tracker Swivel Beach Chair is the only folding beach chair that swivels a complete 360 degrees. So whether you're basking in the sun or just watching the kids, you'll never need to get up to adjust to the optimal position. It's lightweight and folds to only 6 inches wide, so it's perfect for the beach, tailgate parties, sporting events, and more. Anywhere you take a folding chair, you'll want to take the Sun Tracker. To learn more or to order yours today, visit suntracker.com. Or call 888-786-8725. Sun Tracker, the ultimate swivel beach chair. A proud sponsor of Talking Illini with Boz and Mr. G. Check it out at suntracker.com.
The website that gives you some real excitement without charging you by the minute.
It really is a lot of fun.
TalkZone.com. You're Talking Illini on Talk Zone. Now back to Boz and Mr. G.
Boz and Mr. G here with Scouts Jack Lyman talking about recruiting. Signing day is 1 week away. Jack, give us a name or two that might come in and see plenty of snaps and make an impact this year.
I mean, among the current guys are going to sign in February.
Right. And then I'll ask you about last year's guys, a few guys that maybe that redshirted that didn't play, who might emerge there also.
All right. First of all, I think they're going to try to find a place for Terry Hawthorne somewhere. I just don't know whether it's going to be on offense or defense because, on the one hand, the offense takes a long time to learn and might slow him up a little bit. And the safety position obviously needs an upgrade, and of course it requires a lot of practice time also. So it'll be curious to see which side of the ball he starts on, but one way or the other, I think they'll find a place for him. He's just too good an athlete not to. There are some other players that I think, several of them, they'll be on special teams. Eric Watts from Jacksonville, for example. My mind is going blank here suddenly, but Darryl Lee from Florida. I think the kid from Washington, D.C., Jahlil Thrash, possibly, and Walt Akins from North Carolina. Those are all guys that have a lot of athleticism and could help on special teams. It's going to be a little hard for any of them to come in and get playing time on the offensive or defensive line, but there are some good prospects there, especially there's some good defensive linemen that might be able to push for time. There's a kid, Lindell Buckner, out of Chicago, who is extremely raw, but he's so talented and so quick despite his size that they're still going to be looking for a fourth defensive tackle, and he might be someone who could compete there. And we did lose three defensive ends, so someone like a Tank Carradine or Mike Buchanan, if you should choose Illinois over Purdue, that while they might be a little bit raw, also they might have a chance to at least compete for time.
Why would we lose a kid to Purdue at this point in the program's progress?
Well, I don't know that you can really judge that fairly because they have a new coach coming in who might be creating a lot of excitement. Who knows? But he is looking for someplace close to home. He wants to make up his own mind. So some of his teammates that are already here, Russ Ellington and Chupo Sani, I'm sure are in his ear, but he may not necessarily want to follow that, just if nothing else, just to do his own thing.
Jack, is Pilcher coming back?
I've heard opposite ways. I don't know. I could see where sometimes a fifth-year guy who may have already had some success but isn't seemingly one who has a chance to go on to the pros might see the value of getting a degree and going ahead with his life. Who knows? But I haven't talked to him, so I can't tell you.
Where do you see our offensive line next year? Give us a prediction on who's going to be our starting five on the offensive line.
Well, you're not asking for much, are you?
No. Listen, you're our guy. I mean, if you don't know this, who does?
Well, I do think that it's going to take some time to decide that. I'm really impressed with Coach Gilbert, the new offensive line coach. I think he's enthusiastic and energetic, and I think he'll do a good job there. But, some of it might require some juggling of personnel around. Now that they've gotten the junior college kid, Jamar Bass, I have a feeling that he might be able to come in and compete for a starting position, and if so, he could play either guard or tackle. He's not extremely tall, but he's very fast. So, he might be a candidate at left tackle if Corey Lewis isn't ready, or if he goes to left guard, since it now appears that Eric Block is going to get a fifth year. Block could play center, have Jamar Bass at guard, and have Asamoah stay at right guard, which is the position he's played all along. Asamoah is the best player they have there. And then at right tackle, Jeff Allen and Ryan Palmer will both compete there. Palmer was out half the year, and so Allen got a lot of playing time. And, so there are some prospects there. There are some younger guys like Graham Posick who might play, Jack Cornell possibly, and then some the freshmen coming in will provide some depth, but I don't think they're going to get any playing time because Gilbert likes to keep the same five guys in there as most offensive line coaches do.
Asamoah will play center, you think?
No, I said if Eric Block is getting his fifth year, and it sounds like he is, that could allow Asamoah to stay at guard and let Block play center.
If you were O-line coach, what would you do?
I'd leave Block at center and leave Asamoah at right guard. Excuse me. But, Block could play left guard also because he did this last year. So either way would work out. But then you'd have to have somebody at right guard, either Posick or Jack Cornell, and they don't have any experience there. So, it might be better to go with the guys with the experience. But they'll take the best five guys one way or the other and work it out that way. The only concern I have is there's not a lot of depth at left tackle, and our efforts to recruit a left tackle this year appear to have failed. So those are rare birds, and all the top programs are working their tails off to get them, and the few really great ones. So we had a chance at several, but kind of lost out to them.
Any truth to the rumor that we now have three defensive coordinators?
No, but, if we keep the same system that we had before, I personally wouldn't object to that because Dish and Mallory complement each other really, really well. It's like if you took the prototypical ideal defensive coordinator and had all the best traits of all the best coordinators, you would want to take the mixture of those two and make him into one. And I don't think we have anybody singularly who could do all that they could do together. The problem last year was not so much who coordinated, that's just who gets the blame if it fails. A lot of it was the fact that we had some holes in the defense that couldn't be fixed with coaching because there was a combination of a lack of experience, a lack of athleticism, and then a lack of confidence as the season went on.
So other than athleticism, talent, experience, and game planning, what did the defense have going for it last year?
Well, not a whole lot. That's the problem. See, I mean, everyone was kind of compensating for everyone else. And I don't think it's really true that we don't have the talent. But, when you expect so much from a defense and they start to give up a lot of yards and a lot of points, everyone gets down on themselves and on each other. You begin to question each other's role. If you have to start compensating and helping some other teammate out, you end up being less effective in your own position. And so it kind of gets magnified, and everything becomes a vicious circle. But if you remember, guys like Kevin Mitchell and Justin Harrison were pretty mediocre when they were freshmen and sophomores, They learned, they gained experience and maturity. They made up for a lack of real fast speed with savvy and know-how. And by the time they were, especially when they were seniors, they were really pretty good.
So will we be talking, just shifting gears for a moment, will we be talking about Frazier, Meacham, and Brock and the athleticism coming in to fill the void that they leave next year, like people were talking about the talent coming into the football team that was replacing Saunders, Harrison, and Mitchell last year?
Well, you raise a very good question, because I've been telling people a long time now that I don't think we're going to do as well next year because of the graduation of those three seniors. Those guys have...
And you're talking about the basketball players.
And basketball, sure. And that's exactly what happened in football. But in basketball, when you take out the experience of Frazier, Meacham, and Brock, and the motivation to make up for last year like they did, you end up with a very young team that doesn't have any idea what's going on. And so even though Brandon Paul and DJ Richardson and Joseph Bertrand and Griffey are all very talented players, they're not going to be able to replace those guys right away. Over time, yes.
Yeah, I think it's an analogous situation. I really think that void may be very, very similar to the void that the football team faced this year.
Oh, yes. And so even though, you know, guys are just, some fans are just automatically discounting people like Garrett Edwards and, Nate Busty and Trayvon Bellamy. Who else am I leaving out there? Dante Hardeman may not be able to play this year because of his neck injury. So, you know.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Well, it's a major neck surgery, and of course, anytime you're dealing with something close to the spinal cord, and knowing how hard he hits and all, you don't want to take any chances, so we're not sure yet about him. But one way or the other, what I'm saying is those guys gained a lot of experience. If they've also gained the determination to make up for last year, you might find them beginning to play a lot better. Oh, I was thinking of Bo Flowers also. Those guys remind me in many ways of Mitchell and Harrison when they were young. So there's still a chance for them. It's just a matter of gaining confidence and the team gaining confidence in them.
Speaking of hitting and speaking of your watching practices at Camp Rantoul, do you expect to see some different things going on this year so we'll tackle better?
Well, I do think no one has admitted this, and so I may be wrong, but I really believe that having the journey cameraman there all the time had an effect on the attitude of the coaching staff and the players when they were there. Because they didn't hit as much even as they did the previous year. I know they were worried about, you know, keeping everybody healthy and all, but the fact is that there was at least at times less willingness to be real demonstrative in the coaching, real loud and boisterous, you know, they cut down on the swearing, all those kinds of things. And I think that probably this next fall we're going to see them really go after it and really be real aggressive, just like they did prior to the Rose Bowl season, because they know their jobs are on the line, they know that the fans expect more, and they know also the team is capable of more. So I just have a hunch that they're going to be much more aggressive and focused going into Camp Rantoul.
You know, last year, this past year, I was fairly pessimistic going into the year. I actually penciled us in as a 6-6 team. I was a little optimistic in retrospect. Next year, I have a different mindset. Next year, I think they're going to come back with a renewed sense of purpose. Now, not knowing that whether Dante Hardeman will be in the lineup or not may impact that, but I had us as an 8-4 team going into this year. I really think they'll come back with a renewed sense of purpose.
Well, the only problem with that, I want to believe that, and I'd like to say that that's possible, but we also have a very difficult schedule. And I think we play Ohio State and Penn State the first two games of the Big Ten season or something like that. And one way or the other, it's going to be very tough to keep our confidence if we don't win those games. And then, of course, we play Fresno State and Cincinnati late in the year. If we're on a roll like we were for the Rose Bowl season, we'll beat those teams. But if we're down and discouraged and fighting among ourselves, we're not. And so, by the time you get to the end of the schedule, things could change drastically. But I agree with you that if we get off to a good start, I think we have a chance to beat Missouri, for example. If we start winning some games, getting some confidence, feeling good about ourselves, then a much better season is possible. And we do have a number of talented guys back. And I think some of the young guys are going to be much more assertive this year than they were this last. I think they were willing to take subordinate roles because they looked up to the older guys who had been to the Rose Bowl and all, and they deferred to them. But if some of those older guys didn't take the bull by the horns and become good, strong leaders, then I think some of the younger guys might be able to do that.
That's Jack Lyman from Scout. giving us his insight on the recruiting, the upcoming signing period next week, and some thoughts about looking forward to the future.
If you had to pull a rabbit out of your hat, Jack, and you said, there's one kid who's maybe not on everybody's radar, but you think we've got a shot at him in the next week or so, give us that player that you think we have a shot at.
Well, maybe Jerron Stokes, the wide receiver out of Philadelphia. I say that only because he had committed to Tennessee early on in the process, but when they had the coaching change, he decided to look around a little bit, and he has long considered Illinois one of the top schools he was looking at. He has a younger brother, a junior, who's I don't know how good a player, but supposedly pretty good. They may want to go to the same school together. So I don't know whether Illinois likes him enough to take his younger brother, but that might have some impact on his decision. But one way or the other, I understand that he had a very good visit. A guy that works with me texted him, and he wrote back that it was a very good time, and he's really giving Illinois strong consideration. He's really one of the top receiver recruits on our list from the start, so he would add a great deal if we should get him.
And is Penn State still recruiting him?
I'm not sure who else is recruiting him. I don't know if Penn State probably is involved just because they're from there, but the rumor has always been that he had Illinois as second on his list when he chose Tennessee.
Anyone else out there that may sneak into our camp by the end of next week?
Well, again, you're just asking for speculation. I haven't been able to find out enough inside information to say anything for sure, but a guy I've always liked is Lamar Scruggs out of Florida. I haven't had a chance to talk with him yet. I called him last night, and he was away from his phone, and also it was a home phone, and he didn't call me back. I think he didn't want to have the long-distance call. But one way or the other, supposedly he had a very good visit, too. He's about a 6'3 receiver, might have some of the same skills as Appleton, may not be quite as fast, but supposedly one of those big-type receivers that you always are looking for.
If you had to give me a thumbs up or thumbs down on whether this program was headed in the right direction, give me your quick take on that.
Oh, I continue to see the program being in the right direction. The thing is that what people have to remember is you have to have a number of really good recruiting seasons before you can have great ones. You have to show a long-term consistent pattern of success. And so this next year on the field is going to be very important, of course. But I continue to see our guys really working hard in recruiting and getting a lot of top players. And I think even some of the guys that are not ranked as highly in terms of their stars are much better prospects than people realize. I've seen a long DVD highlight tape of Walt Akins, for example, and almost nobody knew about him because of the school he came from. But he's an exceptional prospect and has some running skills very similar to Walt Akins, and yet similar to Jack Ramsey. But he's a little bit bigger, and he's very aggressive defensively, and I think they're going to start him off at a cornerback or safety. So that might be one of those diamond in the rough situations where you really are glad you found him.
All of these classes, once Zook took over, have been rated. So we've put together these good classes. Now, if we start winning, then the good will turn to great. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is if you have a consistent pattern of reasonable success, then over time you can begin to build on that by recruiting over the other guys that you have. But you can't just start going out there when you're, like we were with a 0-and-something record and be able to get the very many superstars. You might occasionally get an Aurelius Ben and you say, oh, we're over the hill, but the fact is you've got to have a whole team full of those to compete with USC and some of those teams. So, it's just, and plus, if we're ranked in the top 25 every year in recruiting, that means that people expect us to be no better than 25th team in the nation. That doesn't sound real good to most of the fans. They want more than that. And so what you have to do is start getting into the top 10 in recruiting every year. And that just takes a while to develop those relationships and get people talking about Illinois. And plus, in fact, it would really be nice if one of these years soon the state of Illinois started producing a large number of top prospects who are not just ones who want to go to Notre Dame or someplace because of their religious affiliations or have some other connections. It's just like with basketball. one of the reasons that we're doing so much better in basketball recruiting is because there are more in-state guys in areas that we're able to recruit from.
Yeah, I think until Illinois opts for spring football, and I don't see that happening anytime soon, you're just not going to produce the level of talent in this state that you see in some of the other states that make football a priority.
Yeah, plus the fact a lot of people throughout the Midwest moved to the South in the last 10 to 20 years. They had moved north because of racial discrimination and a lack of jobs and some of those other issues, but then the whole pattern reversed, and so a lot of people wanted to go back with their families, or they saw more opportunities in warmer climates, whatever the reason, they've moved back down there, and so there's an overload now of great talent in the South.
Illinois was still voted one of the five best basketball states in America. I think it was number two on the list of great production of basketball players of any state in the union. So apparently the migration of talent has only been for football. All the basketball players are staying in the Midwest.
Well, I think a lot of the potential football players are preferring to play basketball, and in that sense, you know, the Michael Jordan effect and all has had an impact on a lot of people wanting to play basketball. And yet at the same time, even if we've had some occasional years with really good prospects, like when Derrick Rose was a senior or when John Shire was a senior, the quantity of top prospects wasn't that good in the state. There was a big drop-off after the first couple. And so for Illinois to recruit well in basketball, and the same is true for football, you need a large number of these top guys so that even though some of them will go other places, you still get plenty of really good players. And Illinois for basketball has benefited when they've had found top players who were not a part of the city of Chicago or the immediate surrounding area. If they found, you know, like a Brian Cook in Lincoln, some guys from Peoria, some like Brandon Paul way up in Warren, some of those kind of areas that are a little bit farther removed, they don't have quite the pressure to go elsewhere.
Jack, we're going to check in with you after the signing period is over and see if any of your surprise predictions came true for us, and also make sure that all of our other predictions held true. It's been a distinct pleasure having you on the show. Thank you, Jack Lyman of Scout.com. And did I say Scout?
Easy for you to say.
Scout.
Scout.com.
Again, Jack Lyman. Thank you very much, Jack.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, Jack.
Goodbye.
We're going to break for a couple minutes, and we'll be back to finish up our show today.
Fourth quarter.
A short fourth quarter. Yeah, my voice is cracking a little bit. I'm playing hurt today again. You know?
Again? Well,
just trying to get over the Midwestern cold.
Well, you have to, like, work out a little, eat healthy, drink orange juice.
There you have it. We'll be back in a moment after these words from our sponsor.
Step back in time when going out for dinner meant something really special. Step into Wildfire, a steak and chop house with the aura of a 1940s dinner club. Private and semi-private rooms offer a variety of options for any social or business event. Order from our supper club menu served family style. Try our horseradish crusted filet mignon or Wildfire's delicious cedar plank salmon. Dine at any of our 8 Wildfire restaurant locations. Visit us on the web at wildfirerestaurant.com to find the location nearest you.
You find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
It's true. You will find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans available online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's so fast and so easy. RizzoCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle, compare up to 5 vehicles at once, access new vehicle reviews, take a new car video test drive. RizzoCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing, which helps to make your purchase simple and fast. Shop 13 new car franchises, including Ford, Chevy, Cadillac, Buick, Lincoln, Mercury, Acura, Porsche, Kia, Hummer, and Saab. So if you're tired and frustrated of driving from dealer to dealer, just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzoCars.com. RizzoCars.com.
The big 50,000 terabyte voice of the big business of talking.
Well, go on. Talk.
TalkZone.com. And now, let's get back in the game for more Talking Illini on TalkZone.com. Here are your hosts, Boz and Mr. G.
We are back in the game, talking Illini on this Monday afternoon at TalkZone.com. About 10 minutes or so left in today's show. If you want to give us a call, 888-463-6748, or email us at TalkingIllini@yahoo.com. Mr. G, another fine afternoon, a couple great guests.
I know you're not a Vegas guy, Boz, but
scintillating conversation.
The line on Saturday's game was Illinois favored by 7.
And they won by?
7.
Okay, so what does that mean? Nobody won? Vegas won.
These guys know what they're doing. No, actually, when you have a push like that, it's not good for Vegas. Because Vegas wants there to be equal betting on both sides of the line, but they want somebody to win. Because when there isn't a winner, they've got to give you back your money.
All right, speaking of winning, we're going to win or lose Thursday night at Minnesota.
You know, all streaks inevitably end. What are we at, 20 in a row versus Minnesota?
Something like that.
This is a very athletic Minnesota team. There will be a rabid Gopher crowd there. They will be gnashing their big Gopher teeth and stomping on their wooden bleachers. Gophers love the wood. I just think it's going to be a very difficult place for us to play. I look at Illinois going into the game as about a 3-point dog and maybe 2-point dog. And I think Minnesota wins a very close and very competitive game.
All right, let me ask you this. Can we win at Wisconsin? Yes or
yeah,
no?
Yes, we can win at Wisconsin.
Okay.
Actually, I think Minnesota is a better team this year than Wisconsin.
So between Minnesota and Wisconsin, can we split those?
No, I think we're going to lose both.
Okay. And how about you're already nervous about at Indiana?
No, I'm not. I'm not nervous.
Okay.
I just, you know, I'm a fatalist in that, you know, I don't want to ever see a team circling us as making or breaking their years. Because if they don't have another win, the next team to play at Assembly Hall will be the game of the year and the game of the century, and we already have a bullseye on our jersey by virtue of the animus surrounding Samson, Gordon, and Weber.
All right, so are we going to win or lose at Indiana?
We're going to win.
All right, Northwestern.
We're going to beat Northwestern at Northwestern.
Okay, and then Ohio State and Penn State are the remaining two of the six road games.
We'll win at home versus Penn State.
No, the road games. Talk to me about the road games.
We'll lose at Ohio State.
Okay.
And we'll lose at Penn State.
All right, so you have us going 2-4 in the six road games.
Correct.
Okay, and I might go for 3-3 because I think we could win Thursday at Minnesota. I think we'll split Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Northwestern, Indiana. And I think we could split Ohio State, Penn State if we continue to play how we are. Home games. We got 5 home games left. Iowa, Purdue, Penn State, Minnesota, Michigan State.
I have us going 3-2 at home.
Okay, so you have us 3-2 at home, 2-4 on the road equals 5-6 on top of
5-2.
5-2
gets us to 10
wins. 10-8. Okay. And we've always said 9-9, 10-8. This is the first time you're saying 10-8.
Correct.
Okay. And after this week, I might up it to 11-7.
Well, it sounds like you like us at 3-3 on the road.
Yeah.
And 4-1 at home.
Yeah.
Which would translate, if my math is correct, into 12 wins.
All right, so if I have a mulligan somewhere, it's 11-7.
No, you know what? You got to wear your underwear on the outside of your pants.
Okay, so again, at home, Iowa, Purdue, Penn State, Minnesota, Michigan State. Yeah, I think one loss there, you know, Purdue or Michigan State. We're going to beat Iowa, Penn State, Minnesota at home. And if we split Michigan State, Purdue, we're 4-1 at home, 3-3 on the road. Even if we do the 2-4, that's 6-5, that's 11-7. So I'm going to, I'm happy.
Well, which is it, 11 or 12 wins?
I'm going to go up 11.
You're a puss.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. It's, you know.
You know what?
Some people like that
take
part
a stand.
About me.
Take a stand, okay?
I stood. I've moved up each week. You know, you started out below. Now you're jumping on the wagon up above 500.
I understand. 12 is your number. Just say, my number's 12. Admit it.
No, I'm going 11. I'll tell you next week if
you're
I want to go to 12.
You're a wimp.
Well, you know me a long time.
You're just hedging your bets.
It's part of the charm of me that people like.
You're just not, you know, trying to look like the person you are.
Something?
Be the person
and
you are.
And you know something? I'm going to tell you right now also. We might miss next year Brock, Beecham, and Frazier for a while. We might not have as good a record. But by turn of the new year, the freshmen will be acclimated enough to where we'll be excited about watching every game. We'll be as competitive as we are, and it will be, if this year isn't the beginning of brighter things to come, certainly next year will be a whole new style, getting close to starting to be flying a line.
I really think that DJ and Brandon Paul will be our two most athletic players by the end of the year next year.
Well, absolutely. And for those of you who have, it's hard to see DJ unless you're out in the Vegas area, but Tuesday night, tomorrow night, there's another terrific game up in the north suburbs. I believe it's at Zion Benton High School, Warren at Zion Benton. Actually, that game's on Comcast. If you can't make it up there, watch it or tape it. I'm going to be taping it because I'm going to another game in my neighborhood, but if you haven't seen Brandon Paul and Lenzel Smith, for that matter, of Zion Benton, who will be going to Ohio State, two terrific players. It'll be a terrific game. I saw the first game in December that Warren won. The score was like 86-81, just a terrific ball game.
You're a big geek. 2011, who do we want for the balance of that class? What two or three players?
Clearly, I want...
And I say that you're a big geek in the most loving and affectionate way I can.
I've handled abuse my whole life, so I could take that, too. So we have Tracy Abrams. The first guy after him I want is Shaw, obviously, Mike Shaw. A good friend of ours...
Shaw versus Blackshear.
Shaw. No question, Shaw.
Not close.
Not in my mind. Not in my mind. And in fact... I might be leaning to the kid from Whitney Young, Thompson, as the second big or wing or forward in that class. And a little birdie friend of ours told me that at the guard position, now that we have Abrams in camp, we might want to have Beal a little bit more than Chasen Randall, because Beal is a pure shooter. So those would be four solid guys. I think we could give a fifth if we want, but if we don't get an exceptional guy, we could roll it over to the following year. The fifth guy could be, I don't even know if I want it to be Blackshear. I might want it to be the...
What about the kid out of Indianapolis?
Well, one of those guys committed already to Memphis.
No, there's a 6'11 player out of Indianapolis that was
or
in
Louisville,
our
radar. Rather, I think.
There's a 6'11 player out of Indianapolis as well.
Well, the fifth guy, you know, we're now at a point where we could be, I think, picky. And I wouldn't mind going out of state to get a real stud guy to complement our in-state players. But, man, oh, man, oh, man, just the thought of our sophomores in 2 years as seniors and Brandon and DJ and Joseph Bertrand and Griffey and Simpson, and then Jeremy and Crandall and Myers Leonard. Whew, that's exciting stuff to look forward to.
By the way, a thanks to Brad Sturdy, who points out that Dickie Simpkins will be doing college basketball for ESPN as a color analyst.
Oh, terrific.
In the coming months. And you can check Dickie out on ESPN. He'll be doing the Kansas game on the 31st, the Marquette-DePaul game on February 3rd, the Baylor-Texas Tech game on February 7th, and a few other games throughout the second half of this basketball season. Congratulations to Dickie, and thanks to Brad Sturdy of Rivals for pointing that out to us.
Yeah, we'll have to get Dickie back on. Of course, Dickie's the AAU coach of Brandon Paul and also has a few younger kids that I know the coaching staff's looking at for down the road as well.
Boz, it's been a scintillating 2 hours. I've enjoyed your company as
I'll
well
as
guests Jarence Howard and Jack Lyman. As always, we talk Illini with passion. It's what we love. It's what we love to do. Please be a part of our show. Call in next week if you can, or email us at talkingillini@yahoo.com. We'll be back with special guests next week. ILL, Boz.
I and I, Mr. G.
You will find the car you want at RizzaCars.com. Over 6,000 new and used cars, trucks, and vans are available online 24/7. RizzaCars.com is your one-stop auto purchase resource site. Build a new vehicle. Compare up to 5 vehicles at once. Access new vehicle reviews. Take a new car video test drive. RizzaCars.com also offers easy-to-qualify online financing. Why drive from dealer to dealer? Just remember,
you'll find the car you want at RizzaCars.com.
Hey, Illini fans. Looking to win in the game of real estate? There's never been a better time to buy a new home. Interest rates are low, there are plenty of homes to choose from, and ultimately real estate is a great investment. Greg Fisher of Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is experienced, professional, and dedicated. As your realtor, Greg can help you find the perfect new home. Contact Greg today at 847-681-4173 or learn more at gregshouses.com. Buy or sell with the man who knows his X's and O's. Coldwell Banker Residential Brokerage is owned and operated by NRT LLC.